And good morning, everyone. I have a little fun fact to share with you this morning about Reverend Borgo. We are celebrating a milestone anniversary with him today. 25 years ago, on this exact date, Mark preached at his first charge as a newly minted minister. So we are happy to have you here with us this morning to share that anniversary. And our heartfelt thanks is extended to John Adams, Kenny Ferguson, David Ferguson, and Jacob, who helped remove some trash from the church over the past week and cleaned up the sod that was laying on the grass at the east corner of the church. So thank you very much to those guys. And I'll leave you with Reverend Borgo.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back here with you again. Back in the pulpit for today only. Anyhow, the 25 years, it's also 25 years since I graduated, 50 years since I graduated from the RCMP Academy, so everything seems to come together in 25s, and it's 50 years for my wife and I in October. Anyhow, I light the candle to show that the presence of God here with us. He is the light of the world and hopefully the light in your hearts. If you'll please stand for the call to worship. We love because God first loved us.
And we who have been formed in love, redeemed in love, and filled by love, are called to celebrate the reality and the wonder of our relationship with God and with one another.
As we come to worship this day, let us unite our hearts and voices in songs of praise and thanksgiving to God, the divine lover of our souls.
Let us worship our loving God.
Our first hymn is hymn 384. Oh, brethren.
Oh,
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Majestic God, we thank you for the gift of your love and for the awesome gift of human love. You have created us such that we might experience your love as we enjoy the deep communion and intimacy of human love. Your love for us is passionate and exuberant, unmerited and unlimited, and these very attributes are within us to be expressed in our love. Heal those places within us that block us in giving ourselves in love, and so saturate us with your spirit that your love might permeate all our relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us unite our voices in the unison, the prayer of confession. As appearing on the screen. God of unconditional love, we confess that our loving often comes with conditions. Our love can be contaminated with self-serving. Often we do have expectations, reservations, and limitations attached to our loving. We miss the joy of abandon when we measure our responses, preserving our dignity, our privacy, and our ego. We confess that fears, wounds, and unforgiven past experiences stop us from risking intimacy and truly melding with others, body and soul. To receive the responsive love of another is an incomparable gift. We confess that we can take that for granted, failing to tend the relationship, to express joy and appreciation. Forgive us and prepare our hearts anew for love. All this we ask in the name of the one who loved us so that he died for us, Jesus Christ. Amen. God demonstrated the forgiving capacity of love in the cross of Christ and the eternal hope of love in Christ's rising. It is love that sets us free from the effects of sin and ensures the hope of everlasting life. Thanks and praise be to God. Our hymn is hymn 746, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see you people here on this Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend is a special weekend for those who are working, those who are young and going to school, and the parents who are maybe jumping for joy that their young ones are going back to school. But you know, one of the things that came to mind as I thought about Labor Day weekend is worry. There's a lot of worry out there. For the young people, they worry about, what will school be like this year? What will my new teacher be like? Will I make new friends? Will my old friends be there? And it's just natural to worry. And it seems we worry a lot also as we get older. You know, some of the things they worry about are something like, will I continue to have a job? Will I have enough money to pay for food and clothing? Will my children be safe? Will we get sick? You know, lots of worries like that. Jesus in the gospel at one point spoke about worrying. He tried to make somewhat of a joke of it to show his friends how silly it is to worry. He said, can any of you add an hour to your life by worrying? That's a silly question because, of course, we can. Jesus invited his friends to look around them. Look at the flowers, Jesus said. Aren't they beautiful? You know, Jesus, our God made them. All the different colors, the different sizes, the different perfumes. They're some of the most beautiful things on earth. Do you think that God would take care of the flowers and not take care of you? Of course not. My friends, it's natural to worry. And I don't think Jesus was scolding people for worrying. I think he was scolding people for worrying so much that it stopped them from doing things that they should be doing, that it froze them in place. So it's an important lesson for all of us to learn. Worrying about things is natural, but it's not going to get us anywhere. But when we are worrying, we can ask God to help us remember that things will be okay. Our hymn that we're just saying, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, basically tells you what to do when you're worrying. Even when things turn out differently than what we expect or want, still everyone, including each one of us, are in God's care. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for always caring for us, no matter what. Help us not to worry, but to trust in you. Amen. As we prepare to hear the scriptures, let us pray. Lord God, creator and maker of us all, you who redeem us and sustain us, speak in the calming of our minds and the longings of our hearts, that we may discern the lessons you would have us learn. Amen.
First reading is from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Second reading is Psalm 45. My heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe.
You are the most handsome of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever.
Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your glory and majesty.
In your majesty, ride on victoriously, for the cause of truth and to defend the right. Let your right hand teach your dread deeds.
Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you.
Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity.
You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions.
Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad.
Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir.
Hear, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house.
And the king will desire your beauty. Since he is your lord, bow to him.
Daughter Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of all people.
With all kinds of wealth, the princess is decked in her chamber with gold woven robes.
In many colored robes she is led to the king. Behind her, the virgins, her companions follow.
With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king.
In the place of ancestors, you, O king, shall have sons. You will make them princes of all the earth.
I will cause your name to be celebrated in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will praise you forever and ever. Third reading is the epistle lesson, James chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. Be doers of the word. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave birth to us by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
Please join in singing hymn 493. How blessed are the ones who hear.
Thank you.
The gospel reading are from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, assorted verses. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked them, "Why do you disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but in their hearts are far from me. In vain they do not worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness and deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile a person." Amen, and may God bless us to the understanding of his holy word. There's a story about a father in church with his three children, including his six-year-old daughter. And as was the family custom, they sat in the very front row so that the children could properly witness the service. And during this particular service, the minister was doing the baptism of a tiny infant. Well, the six-year-old was quite taken by this, observing that he was saying something and pouring water over the little one's head. With a puzzled look on her face, the little girl turned to her father and asked, "Daddy, why is he brainwashing the baby?" Now, as I was reading this story, I happened to be thinking of today's gospel reading. That part where Jesus says to his disciples, "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." It struck me that there was something quite profound about the little girl's question. That indeed, that what's required of each of us is that we allow our brains and our hearts to be washed. Our gospel reading speaks about laws and regulations and how they apply to the purity of heart, mind and soul, about what makes for cleanliness in God's eyes and what doesn't. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gather around Jesus. They're interested in knowing what it is that he's teaching. Well, sure enough, they notice that some of his disciples were eating food with hands that were ritually unclean. They hadn't washed them in the way that the Pharisees said people should. And they complained to Jesus, saying, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating food with unclean hands?" You know, the Pharisees had many rules about such things, about the proper way to prepare food, to wash cups and pots and bowls, and indeed one's very self, if one was to be regarded as clean in the eyes of God. And Jesus answers in what seems to be an unduly harsh response, calling them hypocrites and telling them that they worship God in vain because they follow the traditions of men rather than of God. You know, I said it seems to be unduly harsh because the important thing to understand about the rules and regulations of the elders that are mentioned in today's gospel is that each rule, each tradition was devised to help people to be in closer relationship with God, to keep them pure and holy in his sight. Ritual cleanliness and traditions about what one could or could not do on the Sabbath, or one of who one could not talk to or associate with, or what one could or could not eat, were devised for the good of the people, for the good of their relationship with God as individuals, as a call and chosen people, a call and chosen community of faith. Each such rule, each such tradition was based upon biblical passages, just as today in some churches, there are rules about divorce, advice about how you should raise your children, and information about how women should be subject to their husbands. And they say these are all based on biblical passages, and they'll quote you the passages. My friends, the differences between the rules and traditions of today's elders and those of Jesus' time is only this. The tradition of our modern day elders are based on the New Testament passages rather than the Old Testament. The traditions of Christianity don't require us, as traditions of the Pharisees required the Jews, to worry about how we wash before we eat. Nor do they prohibit us from walking a mile or over a mile on the Sabbath. But they can be just as restrictive and ultimately just as meaningless as those rules that we come across in Jesus' time. You know, some of today's tradition claim that a person isn't a true Christian if they don't believe in the literal word of the Bible, or if they haven't had some kind of born-again experience. Some say that a person is unclean if they associate with non-believers, or if they take a drink, or if they don't believe that God created the world in 6 days and six nights, some 6,000 years ago. I said that Jesus seems, and I stress seemed, unduly harsh in his response to the Pharisees' criticism of his disciples. But, you know, maybe after thinking about it in terms of just outline, maybe Jesus wasn't harsh enough. The net effect of the traditions of the elders in the day of Jesus and the traditions that are found in many churches today is to misdirect. To misdirect by turning righteousness, by turning cleanliness, by turning holiness into matters of how well we adhere to the external rules and understandings of our faith, rather than the law that God writes upon our hearts that are open to him. So the question to you is, how is your heart? Are you trying to conform to the laws and tradition of your faith, but inwardly are empty? Susie Orman, financial planner and author of The Courage to Be Rich, tells of her successful career that went through a not-so-successful period. During that time, she struggled to save face, to maintain an image of success. Oh, she continued to entertain her friends at fine restaurants and to drive her luxury car to keep up the image of a successful professional. But the truth was that every dinner, every car payment, every tank of gas was taking her deeper into debt. I put it to you that many people who believe in God are like Susie. They look good. Oh, they keep up the appearances. But inward, they're impoverished. And the more they try to conform on the outside to what's supposed to come from the inside, the worse they get. And in the end, those around them are worse off as well. What defiles a person are the unclean things that originate from within a person, not those things that come from without. What defiles a person isn't what we eat, nor is it with whom we eat. Rather, it's our anger, our pride, our refusal to listen to others, our sense of superiority, and our sense of self-righteousness. And what makes a person pure and holy isn't who or what we avoid in the outer world. Though there are things that we should avoid, I'll be honest there. But whether or not we allow our insides, our hearts, and our minds, and our souls to be washed in the love of God. And having been washed to bring forth what Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I want you to realize that today the things that are good, those good things that come from within us, are the fruit of the Spirit that is within us. Our acts of goodness and love arise from when we allow God to do work within us. Our gentleness, our faithfulness, our kindness grow not according to our attempts to keep up some external law about how we should be faithful, kind, and gentle, but rather they grow out of the word that's implanted in our hearts and in our minds by God. And joy, peace, and self-control, things that mark are marks of holiness and purity, come not from constantly striving to follow some regulations that are meant to keep us that way, but through meditating on what it is that God has done for us and allowing God to direct our steps with all this in mind. James writes, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God chose to give us birth to the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Holiness, purity, cleanliness are gifts from above, gifts we should aspire to. But in aspiring to them, we need to remember that it has nothing to do with what is without us and everything to do with what is within us. And what is within us can only be changed by the power of God's work at work in our lives. It can only be changed as we take that word inside and allow it to rule us. James writes, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently in the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. What we need to learn is that the word that's heard in this church, the word that God has given us in the scriptures, the word that God puts into our hearts so that we may meditate on it, must be lived out. This can only happen if we welcome the word, if we let it take root within us and then allow it to prompt us to action. If we don't, then like the Pharisees and scribes who gathered to hear Jesus, we'll end up being critics of those who seek to follow him faithfully rather than helpers, than friends, than brothers and sisters who seek to build up one another in love. Our friends, we need to allow a place for God to work within our hearts, a place where we listen to God as well as ask things of God, a place where we listen then allow God to direct our actions, our deeds in the world beyond us. It's God who makes us holy, and it's God who wants us to be holy. In conclusion, it's my sincere prayer that you will receive his word into your hearts each and every day. Listen for it as you worship with your brothers and sisters, and then putting aside those emotions and feelings and thoughts that would lead you astray, and praying in everything that God will help you and help God's word come forth from within you and shine about you in acts of love and compassion and in deeds of patience, understanding, and mercy. Then, my friends, you will indeed be acceptable in God's sight. Amen. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our loving God has provided us with many resources so that all of his creation may have abundant life. With this in mind and with grateful hearts, let us present our tithes and our offerings. Generous God, giver of every good and perfect gift, receive these our gifts of money with the love of our hearts, love for you and for your people, the ones we know and the ones we may never meet. Let the love you inspire in us by your indwelling warmth bless and warm others. Amen. Let us once again unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, Jesus said that he came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. We praise you and we thank you for his purpose in coming, and we pray to you that we might indeed experience the fullness of the life he has promised. Take from us, O Lord, all those things that get in the way of a relationship with you, our pride and self-certainty, our doubt and our fear, and all those things that come from our human nature, which blind us to the wonders of your presence and the glory of what you are doing in our midst. Compassionate God, you know very well how our traditions and our understandings can become instruments of judgment rather than instruments of your grace. And so today we pray for all those who have been hurt by our stubborn insistence that our particular way is the only right way. Touch the hearts of those who have turned away from you because we have caused your light within us to grow dim and to brighten our souls with your truth and your beauty. Loving God, we thank you for the refreshing wind of your spirit, for how you breathe into us new life and new hope, and lead us to new understanding. In you, we find wholeness for both body and soul. Oh God, we pray that this wholeness may not only grow within us, but it might enter into and transform the lives of those we name in silence before you at this time. All these things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Let's print it on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And our closing hymn is hymn 468, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. And now go forth from this time of worship, prepared to give yourself to love. And may the grace of Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, and the Holy Spirit keep you both now and forevermore. Amen.